If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? You are tuned into the newest edition of the Punch List MMA Podcast. We are out of quarantine just in time to clean, and we're cleaning out bookies. It's your co-host, Dale Lippin, in here with Trey Van Buskirk. What's up, man?
Speaking of clean, I'm going to be honest. For a second, when you came on, I thought that was Drew Dober.
Yeah. Man, I got to tell you, that dude's intimidatingly handsome.
It's shocking. It's one of those things where you look and you're like, man, I really need to spend some time doing some moisturizers, some exfoliation. It's out of control.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is with that too, is like, you know, it's one thing to be good looking. It's something else to be good looking and incredibly talented. Like, I need you to just save something for the rest of us. And clearly, you know, he either knows somebody that doesn't care about, you know, social distancing, or his girlfriend's really good at cutting hair, or he just is not under the same restrictions that I'm currently under, because I look homeless and he looks like he's a real estate tycoon. I just don't understand it, man.
Now, there's not one follicle that's out of place. It's truly, truly absurd.
Right.
But, you know, I will say there's one thing that always, always can make you look, feel, and just have an overall better aura to yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's what you put inside your body.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. More importantly than that, you know, what you're putting in your body needs to, it's important that you know where it comes from. You know, it's important that you know that there's no antibiotics, there's no hormones. It's natural. It's the way the good Lord intended. And you get that with Stay Classy Meats. If you go to Stay Classy Meats, use promo code FIST. You get 10% off your entire order. The country right now is acting wild as if there's some sort of meat shortage. We have been assured time and time again by the guys at Stay Classy Meats that is not the case. And those of you that are having a hard time locating meat, go to stayclassymeats.com, use promo code FIST, get 10% off your entire order, and save money and get better quality meat than you would find even if you were able to locate it at your local supermarket.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Cinco de Mayo. If you were a little bit forward thinking last week, you might have said, you know what, I'm going to get some carne asada going. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make some nice steak tacos. You could have had it ready to go in your fridge, thawing right now, about to put that on the Traeger and have yourself a nice margarita with some good tacos.
That's true. You could have, if you were forward thinking enough. But that's more your deal than it is mine. So I'm kind of live in the moment kind of guy. But one thing I'm not living in the moment about, man, is this upcoming event, UFC 249, rebooted 2.0, 2.6, 3.0, whatever you want to call it. UFC 249 is happening this Saturday, Jacksonville, Florida. Justin Gaethje, Tony Ferguson, Henry Cejudo, Dominic Cruz. Some people are calling this the most stacked card in combat sports history. My personal opinion was UFC 100, I think, was a little bit more stacked. My opinion. UFC 200 was also bonkers stacked as well, more so than this, my opinion. But this, as far as it, you know, it's not going to get any better than this right now with this current roster. I mean, we want to talk about as many of these fights as we possibly can. Normally, we just do the main event, or the main card, rather. However, with this event, man, there's too much to not cover the prelims. I believe that the only fight that you and I are in unison and skipping over is the Sam Alvey-Ryan Spann fight.
Yeah. No need to really touch there. I mean, I'm just going to smile and pass over it.
Right. which is what the smiling Sam Alvey thing to do is just go ahead and pass over it. But let's get into the fight that's right above that. Bryce Mitchell taking on Charles Rosa. Thug Nasty taking on Boston Strong. This is a great fight, man, against two guys that are filled with grit. Both with decent stand-up, great submissions, great ground game. One is more wrestle-heavy, and one's more submission-based. But it's going to be, in my opinion, this could be a great ground battle. But normally what we see in instances like this where two guys are great on the ground, they stay standing the whole time. your estimation, what do you think we should do here?
First, I haven't had a chance to dive into Bryce Mitchell's argument he's having with the UFC right now and making sure that he can get camo on his shorts. Yeah. Normally you can get the standard, you know, red, green, gray, black, but he's been campaigning for some camo on his shorts. And, you know, you got to look good. You got to feel good. Bryce Mitchell looks pretty good on the ground. You know, when you're throwing out twister submissions, 10th Planet type guy, I really like Bryce Mitchell in this. I think when it gets to a ground, the comfortability is there and Bryce can really, really take advantage.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they have to make his whole shorts camouflage, but, you know, he wears the more Muay Thai style shorts and they do have the cut in them.
Right.
And they could make that inset fabric camo. I mean, we've seen them make that inset fabric like a solid color and put a Monster logo in there before.
Right.
So if you're willing to do it for that, just changing the colorway to camo, it's not endorsing any brand that's not affiliated with the UFC. It's merely just a colorway. I don't see the problem in putting camouflage in there. I like Bryce Mitchell in this fight, man. I think he's got the better, I think he has the better stand up. I think he's got the better options on the ground, but I think that Charles Rosa is the more physically stronger fighter. So he's going to be more powerful. He's going to be physically stronger, but I think Bryce Mitchell, has more weapons in order to win this fight. And I love him at minus 160. I think that's a great line. I'm definitely all in on making a play on Bryce Mitchell minus 160.
Yeah, and I know we have a play with him coming up soon, so we'll get into that. But I love Bryce Mitchell here in this fight.
Yeah. Next one we got is a rematch. Vicente Luque taking on Nico Price. Vicente Luque sitting at minus 275. Nico Price plus 215. Nico Price, man, fan favorite every time he makes the walk. Absolutely, you know, just as exciting as a guy you're going to find on the roster. Taking on Vicente Luque, who is a tactician, a guy built for war. And he's going to bring it to Nico Price. Already has a win over him via Darce choke, so he knows he can get it done. Is that going to play a factor in the mental game of Nico Price, or is Nico Price coming back motivated in Florida looking for redemption?
He's definitely coming back motivated and looking for redemption. I mean, he's been very vocal about that. It's going to be a new type of hybrid you're going to see out there, a guy that's extremely explosive and is going to have a couple tricks in his bag. Vicente Luque, though, just like you said, he is a tactician. He's a complete strategist. To me, this fight emulates a lot of what we're going to get into with the Jeremy Stephens and Calvin Kattar fight. You've got a guy that can be explosive and be dangerous, and you have another that's very surgical and a total tactician. I like Vicente Luque in this fight. I think that you have to have a calm, cool, and collected head in this fight, and I think he's prepared for these explosions that Nico Price is going to put forth.
Yeah, I mean, obviously having a win over him previously is definitely going to play into that. But with a fight like this, do you think that it's harder to beat a guy two times in a row in a fist fight? You know, and that's my concern, is that Nico Price is not an easy guy to beat once, let alone beat twice. And the Vicente Luque that fought Nico Price several years ago is not the same guy that he was then. And Nico Price is not the same Nico Price. This fight is very interesting to me. The over-under is on 1.5.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. That's interesting.
Right. It's at 1.5. I kind of like the over in this fight. You can get that at basically a pick 'em. I really am leaning towards the over on this fight. I'm not necessarily going to say put the stamp on it, make it a play of ours, but people that are interested in this fight, that is going to be something you're going to want to look at. Is the over under on rounds, and 1.5 could be something that could prove to be very profitable come Saturday night.
I love that. I'm a little bit shocked we didn't solidify that one earlier. I love that over 1.5. That's clearly based on Vegas knowing the explosion that Nico's going to bring, the submission and Darce's that Vicente has. I could see this. Man, you got to think a lot of these fights. I mean, these guys have ring rust aside, they haven't had their sparring partners. You think the first round's going to be a little bit of feeling each other out. You can almost negate that first round. So anything I'm seeing at 1.5 right now, outside of like heavyweights and some really just psycho guys, that's really enticing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things, like you said, you know, you come out and it's almost like a, you know, to compare fighting to basketball, it's a March Madness style approach where you're going to come out and everybody's going to play hard, but they're going to play within their wheelhouse. They're not going to do something that, you know, they're uncomfortable with. You're not going to see any bold new strategies on fighting come Saturday night, because guys are going to have to rely on what's, you know, what they've had available to them. And that's mostly just the bread and butter, the occasional interactions with, you know, teammates and trainers and things of that nature. Our interview with Drew Dober sort of shed some light on that. You know, a lot of times he said he was having his coach come over to his house so they could hit pads outside. Right. Like, that's how these guys are getting ready for fights. It's going to be an interesting thing. I would expect quite a few slow starts. But let's transition away from that into another guy that is notoriously, there's an ebb and flow to his fights. Uriah Hall's taking on Jacare Souza. Uriah Hall sitting at a plus 100, Jacare sitting at a minus 130. This is a tale of three fight streaks, man. Uriah Hall, three in a row on the winning side. Jacare, three in a row on the losing side. Yeah. Although, albeit built into that, was a failed light heavyweight for soiree, you want to call it. But here we are. He's coming back to the middleweight division, taking on a surging Uriah Hall. Over-under on rounds is at 2.5. You and I have been just chewing our bottom lip raw over this fight, man. What do you think?
This is one of those fights, you know, people talk about when you get out of college or whatever type of schooling you're in and you have those nightmares in the middle of the night. You didn't get an assignment done. You're fully just thinking about, you know, what you have upcoming. This has been that fight for me. I have lost sleep over this fight. I've gone back and forth a billion times. And we said the generic thing a billion times. Uriah Hall, what type of Uriah Hall are we going to see? You know, three fight winning streak, three fight losing streak. You know, Jacare is coming in, and this is something where we don't know what we're going to get of either fighter. I will say, I like in fights where we just talked about it, when your striking is probably not going to be to the best of its ability, I like to go with a guy that has a better foundation and better ground game. So I like Jacare in this fight, which is hilarious because for the past week I've been beating the Uriah Hall drum. I've got to go with where the foundation lies and where fights tend to end up on the ground.
Yeah. Realistically, I see this fight taking place a lot like how we saw Jacare fight Derek Brunson. Every time we've seen, you know, Jacare fight Derek Brunson, he's cold, he's calculated, he's methodical. He knows the explosiveness is there. He knows the power is there. However, he usually weathers a storm and then he ends up getting the finish. Jacare inside the distance here is a great play. Jacare, as a whole, money line minus 130 is a good play. Not going to stamp it with the official play status. However, you could do worse than picking Jacare, and you could do worse than picking Jacare inside the distance with this fight.
Yeah.
All right, man. You made a post on Instagram today, showcasing a fighter on this next fight. Carlos Esparza is coming back, taking on Michelle Waterson. Michelle Waterson sitting at a plus 130. Carlos Esparza at a minus 160. Over under on rounds is at 2.5. However, being a female MMA fight, one, I don't want to touch it because it's female and it's too unpredictable. But two, that over under offers nothing because over under, the over 2.5 is at minus 500 and the under is at plus 350. Neither one of these women have had a finish in a very long time. Don't necessarily see it ending inside the distance. If it does, it's most definitely going to be by TKO or submission coming from Michelle Waterson against Carla Esparza. Carla, I know you love her, is notoriously pillow fisted and has not ever recorded a TKO victory in her entire professional career. She will not get one on Saturday night. However, minus 160, I love wrestlers and I love Carla Esparza. Although, again, I don't want to play this fight.
Hey, you've been in quarantine. If you don't think the Cookie Monster's put on a couple extra pounds with extra chocolate chip cookies, she'll make weight. She'll put some cookie weight back on, get inside control, get the points, get out there.
Yeah.
I like 160.
I like minus 160. I would not be surprised to see I would go so far as to say Carlos Esparza, unanimous decisions, 29-28 on all three scorecards.
I like that.
I like Michelle Waterson possibly winning round one. or round three, but I don't see her winning the fight. Okay.
Speaking of rounds.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great transition into this next fight because you came across a little cookie yourself in regards to the Donald Cerrone, Anthony Pettis rounds that are being listed via prop bets.
Yeah, but you're skipping Alexei Oleinik for Fabricio Werdum here.
I thought I had the transition there.
That's okay. We can go with round as in like the back acne of known steroid abuser Fabricio Werdum. taking on Alexei Oleinik. You know, Alexei Oleinik sitting at plus 250. Fabricio Werdum coming back off a 2.5 year layoff, obviously off that USADA suspension, minus 325. Over under on rounds is at 1.5. I like the over in this fight, on the over 1.5. Both these guys are not good strikers. They're going to try to get it to the ground. They're going to try to get it to a clinch. It's going to get ugly in a hurry if neither one of these guys can secure that submission while they're dry. If everybody gets slippery, things are going to get weird. Over 1.5 is sitting at minus 130, and I really like that play here.
Yeah, you said it perfectly. I was worried you were going to say submissions, plural, but you chose submission singular because we all know Alexei only has one submission in his holster, which is a nice Ezekiel. So unless he's able to get that, that's going to for sure push you over the 1.5. The over looks good on this fight.
It does. I will say this, though. People need to not sleep on this. Alexei Oleinik has 46 finishes in his mixed martial arts career.
Really?
46.
I'd love to know how many of those are Ezekiels. Like 46.
Yeah, 44. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I have no idea how many are Ezekiel choked. All right, let's get to the featured prelim. On any fight card that didn't feature or didn't have Greg Hardy's bum ass on it, this would clearly be a main event or a main card slot. Donald Cowboy Cerrone taking on Anthony Pettis. This is a rematch Pettis won a couple years ago. Cerrone said that he thought Pettis kicked his liver out of his body. I don't see this going much differently this time, though, but Cowboy's taking on Anthony Pettis. Cowboy sitting at a plus 115. Pettis at a minus 145. Over under on rounds is at 2.5. What are you thinking here, Trey?
Hammer the under. Hammer it. There is no question this is going to finish under. Whether that's going to be the body kick we all know is going to happen 1,000% from Anthony Pettis onto Cowboy, or that's going to be Cowboy just utilizing a little bit of his Muay Thai kickboxing, you know, get him out of there, see a gassed Anthony Pettis, which we've seen. He's been on the decline ever since he was a champion. We've definitely seen his cardio go, and we've seen, you know, a little bit of his what would you call it? His bones, I guess.
He's fragile.
He's fragile. Yeah, he's fragile. Exactly.
Anthony Pettis is a sports car. He goes really fast and it's really cool to look at as long as everything's working correctly. But the moment one little thing goes wrong, everything falls apart. And that has been the story of Anthony Pettis the last few years. Again, in the Tony Ferguson fight, he looked amazing until he broke his hand. Yep. Nate Diaz fight looked amazing until he broke his foot. He just continues to break down. Cowboy, on the other hand, doesn't show up half the time. And when he does show up, he's been quitting. So can the sports car outrun the old beat-up pickup truck that may or may not run? If it gets running, it's great and reliable, but it can't get running.
Yeah. I will say, though, I love the old 1947 F-150 in this fight.
Okay.
And I will say the reason I like that is because you have to take a little bit of the ethos in a couple of these fights. There's been two people on this card that have said really interesting things. One is Francis Ngannou, which we'll get to, but Donald Cowboy Cerrone straight up said very transparently about his fight with Conor McGregor that he didn't show up. He's on a 3-fight losing skid. When's the last time we saw a 4-fight losing skid with a UFC veteran that is Donald Cowboy Cerrone? I don't see that happening. I like Donald in this fight, but I do think it's going to finish under 2.5 either way.
Right. And that's why we're making the play at the under 2.5, because I'm sitting on the opposite side of that fence of you. And I know, I believe that Anthony Pettis is going to get Cowboy out of there because Cowboy will be timid because he knows that he can be beaten by Anthony Pettis.
The only thing I don't like is, like you've always said, and what you always see, Donald likes to play right here. He's got his little dinosaur arms. He keeps his body wide open, and that is the biggest target for a nice little sidekick.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, let's get into this main card. Jorgen DeCastro taking on Greg Hardy. If you've got anything to say here, go ahead and say it. And for those of you that are new to the show, I purposely do not talk about Greg Hardy because I do not want to give domestic abusers any sort of limelight other than showcasing and letting people know that they are domestic abusers. So I don't have much to say about Greg Hardy. Jorgen DeCastro, over under on this fight is at 1.5. And I think we both kind of like the over on this at sitting at minus 165. Both these guys are probably going to come out slow, methodical, and looking like that 7.5 minute mark might be money at minus 165. What do you think, Trey?
Not much to say. I'm in the same boat. I love the over on this fight, but don't want to play it. I would like to see if there's any awesome prop bets if Greg Hardy's going to fuck up in some other way, whether that's an inhaler or a soccer kick. Something controversial is going to happen in this fight. And if there is a prop bet on it, I'm all over that.
Right. Now, there is a thing that Jorgen DeCastro can win by disqualification, and that sits at plus 190.
That's not even that great.
No. No.
Yeah. No, not much to say here.
Yeah. All right. We'll go ahead and keep it moving then. This is my opinion. This is the most avoidable fight of the night, the one we're getting ready to talk about. I am so back and forth on this fight. I don't know what to think of it. Jeremy Stephens taking on Calvin Kattar. Jeremy Stephens sitting at a plus 197. Calvin Kattar sitting at minus 252. Over under on rounds is at 2.5, which could not be more challenging. Mm-hmm. The under 2.5 sitting at plus 147, over 2.5, minus 177. Jeremy Stephens can win this fight at any moment if Calvin Kattar makes a mistake, but we have not seen Calvin Kattar make mistakes. The only mistake we've seen him make inside the octagon is waiting too long to go after Zabit. That's it.
I've gone back and forth on this as well, but you got to look at the younger prospect in Calvin Kattar. He's going to get in. Like you said, he's surgical. He'll go by the book. Jeremy Stephens is going to have that huge overhand right. But when he gets in trouble, he gets in trouble. And we also have to talk about this dude's had how many fights? Over 30 fights in his career in the UFC, not just in his career. Sorry, in the UFC. Right. He's had a shit ton of fights. At what point is your chin a little bit deteriorated with a guy that's going to keep picking it, has amazing boxing? I like Calvin in this fight, but yeah, it's a nightmare of a matchup for both.
Yeah, and I don't see values in the numbers here going after either one of these guys. Things that make me nervous about Jeremy Stephens, he can be a slow starter. He's susceptible to body attacks. Things that make me nervous about Calvin Kattar, his body of work is pretty limited. We haven't seen him really struggle at all. The Shane Burgos fight was a back and forth fight, but that's really the most we've seen him struggle. Even in the fight against Zabit, he didn't really struggle. He just couldn't get going, which wasn't struggling. It was just poor execution. And the other thing that worries me about Calvin Kattar is he holds his right hand a little bit lower than makes me comfortable. It's not exactly chin level. It's just about shoulder height, which is very unsettling with a guy that can get creative like Jeremy Stephens. I also like Jeremy Stephens' leg kicks, and Calvin Kattar stands very heavy on that front leg. We have not seen a lot of kicks or takedowns out of Calvin Kattar, so if he cannot do what has gotten him this far, Jeremy Stephens has more weapons to get him out of there. But all that being said, I don't want to touch this fight, man. It makes me way, way, way too nervous.
Yeah, there's nothing I want to do with this. Not at all.
Okay, well, let's keep it moving. Yair Rozenstruik taking on Francis Ngannou. This has promised to be the Derek Lewis versus Francis Ngannou we were all promised years ago that turned out to be a complete shit show. Hopefully, this will not be a repeat. Yair Rozenstruik sitting at a plus 240. Francis Ngannou minus 300. Over and under rounds is at 1.5, Trey.
I alluded to this earlier, and when I talked about a little bit of context that was put out there, Francis Ngannou blatantly said, "This has been the most exhausting camp. I'm mentally exhausted on all levels." And that scares me because you cannot be mentally exhausted against Yair Rozenstruik. The guy dealt with an Alistair Overeem that was murdering him the whole time, but somehow kept his composure to the last 5 seconds, capitalized, and won the fight. So we know Jair can actually stay in the pocket. He can take some damage. Now, granted, is it Francis Ngannou damage? I don't think so, but I do know he can weather a storm. At 1.5 on rounds, I love the over on that. But I do think that this is going to be a little bit more of a slower start to Francis Ngannou than we've normally seen.
Yeah. I've been hyping Rozenstruik in this fight since they announced it. I think that he's sneaky athletic. We've seen Francis Ngannou be very powerful. We have not seen him be that athletic. And if you remember during the Rozenstruik fight, he was throwing a lot of flying knees. He was throwing a lot of wheel kick. Yeah. Like, he was trying to throw a very wide myriad of different striking techniques. Now, albeit he wasn't very successful in them, but they were there for him. And he maintained the same consistent pace for 5 rounds. It was not something that we, you know, anticipated him being able to do, because there was no takedown attempts in that fight, and he maintained the same level of output.
Right.
Alistair Overeem was calm, cool, and collected for every second of that fight. In my opinion, I think that Dan Mergliotis saved Jair Rozenstruik in that sense and got him that win, because Overeem did pop back up. There was 5 seconds left. He should not have walked away. It wasn't a walkaway knockout.
Yeah.
But as it stands anyway, it doesn't matter. It's still a knockout. He still won the fight. I don't think Francis Ngannou can stay that disciplined for that long. No. I don't think that he can stay disciplined for 2 rounds, let alone 3, 4, 5. And this is going to go the three rounds. I think Biggie Boy gets Francis Ngannou out of there. How's that? I'm not saying it's a play.
Oh, jeez, dude. Oh, God.
Jair Rozenstruik is a +300 to win by KO or TKO. +300, Trey.
We had a game plan, dude.
You're right. All right, we're not going to go off the game plan. You're right. We're not going to go off the game plan. We're not going to go off the game plan. I can feel your frustration. We're not going to do it.
You talked yourself into that, dude. I know. You've got whimsical language, but you can't do that, dude. You cannot do that. We have a plan. The plan is play the over.
All right. Let's go into the co-main event of the evening. Dominic Cruz taking on Henry Cejudo. Dominic Cruz +195. Henry Cejudo -235. Over under on rounds is at 4.5. Over 4.5 -186. Under 4.5, sitting at +150. What do you like here?
Oh, man. I feel like that's how I'm going to start every segment for every fight on this
every,
card.
It's actually about every fight. Yeah.
I mean, you got a guy, we've talked about this, we've beat this to a pull. Dominic Cruz hasn't fought since 2016. People forget Henry Cejudo is just coming off a crazy arm surgery. No sparring. You know, this fight, we've never seen really Dominic Cruz be finished, albeit we saw it in WBC, Uriah Faber, guillotine. Henry Cejudo, we saw it against DJ, but really these guys know how to avoid damage. I think that at 4.5, Vegas is very smart. They know that this thing's most likely probably going to go the distance. Mm-hmm. But I think with guys that are either coming off the couch or coming off surgery, these guys, their cardio is not going to be to the level that it should be. And I think a little bit of anxiety to get it done and get it done quick so they don't have to get into later rounds is going to be top of mind. So it makes me think that maybe the under is the way to go.
Yeah, I can lean that way for sure. I definitely see that. My concern with that is you can take your exact logic and apply it to why it will go over 4.5 as well. Because we've also been looking at it and saying, well, you know, you can basically throw round one away, right? Mm-hmm. I will say this, though, is that there appears to be a little bit of bad blood coming from Cruz towards Henry Cejudo. And, you know, Cruz really seems to have taken offense to the way Henry Cejudo has been treating him, really has taken offense to the way that he's spoken about him. And it doesn't appear as if he feels like he's getting his just due in the respect era or the respect aspect of it. And with that, I think we might see a motivated Dom Cruz. Now, like you said, he's coming off 4 years on the couch. It wasn't for lack of effort. There were fights that were booked. There were injuries that happened. You know, there was time to recover that took place. Henry Cejudo has fought pretty recently, even though it seems like he hasn't fought in a long time. We're coming up on like right at a year since we've seen Henry Cejudo inside the cage. Mm-hmm. People need not forget how good Henry Cejudo is. I know the Triple C character is a moniker that he goes by, but I will say this again. The guy is a gold medalist in wrestling. The single most beneficial skill set you can have in mixed martial arts. He's a gold medalist in it. He's also flyweight champion, former flyweight champ, and current bantamweight champ. This dude is arguably, with a win over a guy like Dominic Cruz and maybe Jose Aldo down the road, arguably one of, if not the greatest combat sports athlete of all time. I say that knowing the full gravity of what I'm talking about here and how ridiculous that may sound. Henry Cejudo might be, with a win here, crowned the greatest combat sports athlete of all time. He is aware of what's at stake here. Getting a punctuation mark finish over Dominic Cruz would be the icing on his cake. Under 4.5 plus 150 is about the most value you're going to find on this fight, unless you think Dominic Cruz is going to win outright at plus 195.
Yeah, I mean, you said it perfectly. What Henry really is he's a resume builder. This is a guy that wants to be at the tier one top companies for a year, showcase. He was at Apple, he was at Google, he was at, you know, whomever. He wants to show all the names of what he has done and what he's accomplished. He's been in quick. He doesn't, Dom Cruz, who's a legend of the sport, this is just another check mark on that resume for him. I think he does want to make a statement. He's going to want to make it quick. Given his injury, as well as he knows how long it's been for Cruz to be back in the octagon. Regardless, if Cruz, who's been the poster child for I don't believe in ring rust, right. We'll see if that holds truth.
Yeah, 4 years is a long time. I understand not believing in it in 2 years or 18 months, but 4 years is a long time. All right, let's touch on this main event. We've given pretty much our breakdown on how we think this fight is going to go in the last two episodes. We'll obviously recap some of that now. However, we have talked about this fight extensively. Main event, Justin Gaethje, Tony Ferguson. Justin Gaethje, plus 155. Tony Ferguson, minus 190. Over-under on rounds is at 2.5, which is a pick'em, regardless of how you're looking at it. I love Justin Gaethje outright at plus 155 in this fight. He hits harder than anybody Tony's ever fought. He's got better leg kicks. We have rumors that he's an amazing wrestler, although nobody's ever seen it.
Yeah.
He's got the accolades to back it up. Justin Gaethje, with a little bit more time, feels like he's coming in at 100%, ready to rock and roll against El Kakui. Tony Ferguson, Justin Gaethje. I like Justin Gaethje rather outright, plus 155.
I find it so funny that this is the one fight that for the past couple of weeks, we have known what we're going to do. Yeah. Everything else has changed. You know, we've seen lines move. This is one we didn't care what happened. This is what we believe is going to happen. And for those that listened to episodes before, I implore you, go watch Tony Ferguson versus Kevin Lee. That'll tell you everything you need to know as to why Justin Gaethje is going to win this fight. If he can use this mythical wrestling, great. But we saw Kevin Lee land some serious overhand rights on Tony Ferguson and rock him. The power differential between Justin Gaethje and Kevin Lee you can't even monitor it. That's how completely different scale it is. Justin Gaethje, this is a great fight for you. Tony Ferguson, nightmare. Say goodbye, Khabib.
I would agree. I think this is Tony's boat leaving the dock. You know, they never want it. You know, and we've said this before, episode was it 16, or the Conor McGregor conspiracy theory. The UFC has never wanted Tony versus Conor. And anything that they could do to get rid of Tony, to keep Tony from touching Conor, is what they needed to do. They realized that Tony versus Khabib was going to be this crazy ordeal, and it was slowing down the process of getting Conor the belt back. They're just going to keep feeding Tony. There's no reason why Tony can't wait for Khabib. There's no reason. They're giving Khabib the option to wait till September to fight. There's no reason why Tony couldn't say, no, I'm going to wait till September and fight Khabib. There's no reason why he couldn't say that. No. Instead, they are booking him against Justin Gaethje because they want Gaethje to win. My concern with this is that both Gaethje and Khabib are managed by Ali. Mm-hmm. So yeah. What happens there?
Ali doesn't give a shit, dude. He gets paid on both sides. That's he doesn't right. care about his fighters. He just wants his wallet full.
Oh, he wants his wallet full so he can send it back to the Taliban. Allegedly. Allegedly. I gotta say allegedly. We'll get shut down. Allegedly. Oh, geez. Thanks. You know, caught me on that one. All right. So Justin Gaethje. I love that play. Some prop bets real quick, guys, that I love for the Justin Gaethje-Tony Ferguson fight. If you go to a certain book, mybookie.ag, not to plug them because we're not associated with them, but if you go there, there's some great round-by-round breakdowns. Yes. And if you believe that Justin Gaethje is going to win this fight, he's more than likely going to do it by knockout. There are some great round-by-round knockout numbers. To give you an example, to read them off from rounds 1 through 5, respectively, they go plus 450, plus 900, plus 1600, plus 2200, plus 2800. Simple math on this would say that if you put one unit on rounds 2, 3, 4, and 5, doesn't matter what round it happens in, you're going to come out at least up 4 units at a bare minimum.
Yep.
So it's about as surefire of a bet as you can possibly have. The only way that you would lose money on that is if it happened in round 1, and even then, if you kept it at a 1-unit bet, you wouldn't lose money. You would just come out slightly above even. So if Justin Gaethje wins by knockout and you play a 1-unit play on all 4 rounds, or all 5 rounds rather, you will come out with at least up half a unit. All you have to do is hope that Justin Gaethje wins inside the distance. That's it. And you're going to win. So that's like a built-in hedge.
Let's put the sprinkle on the cupcake here, and let's circle back to what we had talked about, or I had jumped into. Got a little sporadic here with the Donald Cerrone Anthony Pettis round by round.
Yeah.
So you're seeing that even to a gnarlier degree.
Yeah. Let me pull that up real quick while you're talking about that.
This is something where Dale had come across it, and it almost just seems like it's a glitch.
Right.
It really does. This is a fight, and we talked about this, when we were dissecting the fight. At 2.5, you want to play the under on this fight. So it's gonna close out. We know that Anthony Pettis is gonna come in with that kick. We know Donald Cerrone, we don't know if he's motivated. Regardless, both these guys are gonna come in slugfest. One's getting out there quick. Now the question is, if you were to play rounds 1 or 2, you have some serious, serious upside to take advantage.
Yeah. So If you're looking at it inside the distance, my bookie's offering either plays, so it's either fighter can win, doesn't matter. Either fighter wins in round 1, that's at plus 300. Either fighter wins in round 2, it's plus 400, and either fighter wins in round 3 is at plus 600. That's So a 1-unit play on round 1 is going to win you 3 units back. There's only two other rounds in the fight. So you're going to come out 1 unit on top, right? Round 2 is at plus 400. So you're going to come out 2 units on top. And then respectively in round 3, you'll come out. I don't understand. I feel like it's not a glitch, but if you feel like this fight's going to end inside the distance, go play 1 unit or 2 units, however you want to scale that accordingly, on each one of these, because you're going to win plus your money back.
Yeah, it blows my mind. If you didn't get your money from the government and a recent check, this is pretty much it right here, guys.
Yeah.
Take advantage.
Yeah. So, and then you're watching the fight going, I don't care who wins.
Yeah.
It just can't go the distance. That's it. Now, conversely, you don't have the either option on the Ferguson Gaethje fight. There are no either options available for that. It's one or the other. This is one of the few fights available on this card. If you go to mybookie.ag, again, we're not associated with them, and put in, or you go to the book or whatever, they have the either option. There's only a handful of fights that are like this, and this by far has the best chance of finishing inside the distance.
Yeah, man, there's some serious value. So let's circle back here. Sure. I know we went through all the fights here. Let's talk about our official plays and cap it off here.
Okay, so Justin Gaethje outright.
Yep.
Bryce Mitchell.
Yep.
And then we are going to parlay Bryce Mitchell with Fabricio, correct?
Verdum, yep.
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 And then our fourth play and final play of the night is going to be the Cejudo Cruz fight inside the distance.
At the distance. Yep.
So you've heard our breakdowns for all the fights. However, four official plays, Gaethje outright, Cruz Cejudo inside the distance.
Verdum, Bryce Mitchell, parlay.
Yep. Verdum, Bryce Mitchell, parlay, and Cowboy and Anthony Pettis inside the distance. No, I'm sorry, under 2.5. Under 2.5 is what we're going with that. So those are the four official plays.
Yeah.
For those of you that haven't set it up yet, the Verdum Bryce Mitchell parlay is returning. It's coming back at like a plus 110. So about 1.1 return on your money there. So
very fitting to cap off the episode with Bryce Mitchell. Guys, do not get your junk stuck in power tools. And the only way you can do that, one, don't put a power tool right next to your ball sack. But two, make sure you're groomed. Make sure you've got that nice 18th green, you know, fairway looking nice. The only way to do that is utilize our code punch@manscaped.com. That'll get you 20% off and free shipping. Dale, you sent me a pretty funny meme today that really explains what you can do with your deck.
Yeah, yeah. If you trim your bushes, your deck looks bigger. A little dad joke there. However, if you're going to put powerful tools near your junk, guys, no joke. I mean, we're talking about 7,000 RPMs here. That's a serious piece of equipment. You need that skin-safe technology, and that's what Manscaped offers. It's going to get you as close as humanly possible without fear of shredding your ball sack open like happened to Bryce Mitchell a few years back. Because the man, you know, if you're not familiar, put a drill in his pants as he was climbing up a ladder, activated the drill, and ripped his ball sack wide open because it got wrapped up in the drill bit. You don't want to put powerful tools near your junk unless it is a Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0. Use promo code PUNCH and save 20% and get that free shipping, Playboy.
I know. And it'll arrive on time. It's not like Amazon, which tells you it's on Prime in 2 days and you get it 3 weeks later.
I know it.
Manscaped's on it, dude.
They're on it. All right, Trey. It's been a long time coming, man. You know, the vibe and the energy isn't down. It's the calm before the storm. You know, yes. I think like a lot of people expect, like maybe even this episode, for us to be like very bombastic about everything, but we have been so bloodthirsty and so hungry for fights for so long that we're all just sort of waiting for the storm to get here. So this is just the calm before the storm. Do not let our calm, even demeanor belie our expectations and excitement for these fights. We are just hungry dogs waiting for the meat to hit the floor.
Oh yeah. If you would have heard the tone in my dialect with Dale before we jumped on for recording, it has been the most high-pitched, stressed out, sweating, excited dude you've ever heard in your entire life. Sound like a 12-year-old girl. I'm ready to go. Let's get back into fights, brother.
Let's get it. All right, guys, cheers. Be good to each other, and we will talk to everybody on social media between now and Saturday. Saturday night, as fights are happening, we will be on Instagram answering questions, betting advice, tips, all that other stuff. We'll also hop on Instagram live before the main event or main card actually kicks off to recap the prelims. So go ahead and set a reminder now. About 9:30 Eastern time, we will be on Instagram live talking about what's happening on the prelims, prepping for the actual main card, which is going to kick off at 10 o'clock Eastern. If you don't follow us already, do follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook. If you have questions, shoot them to us at chat@punchlistmma.com, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that.
You know our email address.
I do know our email. I know, right? It's only taken 4 months. I finally got it down. But yeah, reach out and we try to help out as much as we can. And then, you know, also if you haven't done so, please like, subscribe, share, and review on iTunes, guys. We just recently completed an interview with Drew Dober, UFC lightweight star that's getting ready to fight next weekend at UFC Jacksonville against Alexander Hernandez. Check out that interview. Drew was super generous with his time. And if you want to see us do more interviews, if you are able to like, subscribe, share, and write reviews, it moves us up those iTunes ladders, those Spotify ladders, and that helps us leverage with fighters in order to get them on the show. They want to see that they're coming on to something that people are actually watching and liking and sharing because they're trying to build their brand as well. So if you haven't supported us in that way, we don't ask for any monetary support. We ask for that actual subscription / review support. Anything else, Trey?
I think you covered it, man. Guys, again, share, like, and subscribe. We appreciate all you. We love the support, and we are excited for Saturday night.
All right, guys, take care. Appreciate everybody. Be good to each other.